so. Because I intend only to be high tonight. These are the wonderful nights. The church thins out a little, you know, it's dark now. But it's when the candles show up more. And it's like slipping out of the brightness of summer and having enough self-esteem and confidence to be able to close yourself down and go inside of yourself. That's what all nature is doing now. Everything will die and go down into the earth. All the summer flowers, the fruit trees, your beautiful roses you've been sniffing, it'll all go down into the earth. Do you know how much confidence the plant kingdom has to have this time of year? Do you know how much confidence the animal kingdom must have? All the horses up on the ranch are beginning to grow their winter coats. It hasn't gotten cold up there yet, but they know that it's coming. All of nature seems to know, and it has confidence. And what nature has that we're lacking is nature is still involved with the instinct the Supreme Being gave it when he created it. The church has killed our instinct and gave us dogmas and laws. And we are people that come back into the house of God as the Supreme Being who gave us instincts for self-preservation, for even worship and understanding and growing. And just as all of nature is prepared, we can go back to those instincts and get rid of these concepts that some of you who don't believe in heaven anymore still are afraid you're going to hell. I mean, a lot of people don't believe in all that anymore, but they still believe in evil and hell. The world isn't a good place, but they do believe it's an evil place. And that perception, how you see it, starts creating the world as it is. That's your belief system within this total spectrum of beliefs. What I want you to do Thursday nights in Romantic is kind of, as you're looking at something, like, I have beliefs concerning this church. And then all of a sudden I look at myself and say, why do you believe just that concerning this church? Why don't you believe in this great possibility here too? And if I only see and believe that, that's all the church is going to give me back. So when you come here and you center yourself and you're not afraid to go from the bright flights and warmth of summer into the depths of fall, have you noticed how many people die in October? How many stars, one after the other, every day there was a different one on television if you listen. My parents died in October. It's a death time. What you learn from death is just going into the inner self where the pure energy of your spirit is, that always was, is, and always will be. That's ingrained in you to know that. Quit looking for proof. It's ingrained. You don't need proof. It's in your instinct. Follow them. It's what God created, called your spirit. So you align yourself with the Father. You align yourself with the Supreme Being. And you honor that relationship with him, which is very easy to keep because he teaches you how to relate to other people. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't bear false witnesses, don't cause trouble, don't kill. He's telling us how to treat each other. So every single person has a right to be whatever they are, as long as there is no victim for them to be. As long as they require no sacrifice. As long as they hurt no man, wherever two people gather together and agree upon anything, it will be there. Anything. Even gay people know that now. They were the most abominated people of the earth, but now they have their own church. And they also understand that two of them gather together and there's no victim and there's mutual consent and honest expression and feelings. They are just as decent in the eyes of God as anyone else is who has sex. Because a lot of straight people in their marriages having sex use their partner as the garbage can for their sex. Not someone they make love to. So married people can go home with their certificate and say, hey, I was heterosexual and never got AIDS. And it's the partner being cursed, I don't know you. And what's Falwell going to do when he sees someone with AIDS bringing their lover and he says, come right on in? Hard time making heaven out of hell, aren't they? A hard time. Our Father teaches us the love and the dignity of all people. Our Father teaches us the old art of prostitution and how patient he was with prostitutes. How would you like not to be sitting here tonight, but put your little fanny up there on Sunset Boulevard with those girls in those short skirts stopping those cars, not knowing what's going to happen to them, and tell me that's desirable? And tell me they need your trouble. A pure godly man looks at compassion, true compassion, and says, there but the grace of God goeth I. That's just not my lesson this time. But I can be gentle, and everything I see is a relationship of love, and God's glory is everywhere.
And it's nice that the sun dims down a little bit so we can see the glow and that we can see shadows and the fire that makes the shadows and not feel the fear of the shadow, but absolutely delight our spirits in the warmth of the fire. Amen.
All my life was a paper, once plain, pure, and white. Then you moved with your pen, changing moods now and then, till the balance was right.
Incredible voice. I hear her sing and I get goosebumps. And I don't particularly like that song. Because we got so overdone, you know. You decorated my life one more time. Yet it's brand new when she sings it. I guess when you love someone, every time they do it, it seems like the first time. And I mean that on every level. Every time. Jean said to me, why did she stop singing professionally? Because she's, you know, we both think she's good. At least we agree. She's more than good to us. And I said, she got scared. Is that fair? If people say, why did he stop teaching or preaching? It would probably, you could say, he got scared. What stops most of us from pursuing what we want to do is because we get scared. And that's what stops us all the time. In order not to get scared, we'd have to redefine our definition of success. And if we could redefine our definition of success, and the definition was a proper and honest one for us, we would never be scared that we weren't going to be successful. Can you still follow me? So if I could say that we serve no other purpose in gathering tonight, but let's hold on to this thought. Let's change our idea of success. Because in changing that, maybe we can elevate our self-esteem. And if we can elevate our self-esteem, change our definition of success, we really do have something to offer to someone. We can all find someone who has something to offer us, but we won't settle for it. When it gets down to love, I would have to say that the greater majority is looking to offer their gift of love to someone. It's a gift to give yourself to someone. I think a lot of us feel that it would be an imposition for someone to love us, so we have to kind of fake and fill in those parts of our personalities that we think would disappoint them or that makes us unworthy. And pretty soon when you're going down the road and it's all if you're looking for is potholes, guess what you're going to find? Potholes. You will know every pothole in the road. And you will probably be one who could turn to your best friend and say, I can get down the road of life without ever hitting a pothole. And your friend can turn around and say to you, yes, but you never looked up once and saw the sunshine and the hills. It is far better to get halfway down the road than have enjoyed life and hit a pothole. Wouldn't it? Those are experiences. And in those experiences, which can seem like potholes, are the things that enrich in us in the finality of their doing. If we can hold back the bitterness and resentment and why me and what did I do to deserve this, sometimes you didn't do anything to deserve the experience. Sometimes you were worthy enough to take the next step of growth. Is that possible? And they are steps of growth. But you remove those things that were hard. And you remove those things that you ask, why me? Isn't it like the fire that tempers the iron? Isn't it like finally, through your tears, the clay becomes moist again, and you can take your mallet, and you can repound it, you can remold it, you can re-knead yourself into something. And most of the beauty and the tenderness that you are right now was probably, or maybe someone new sitting beside your side. Someone new. Once again, aren't you more tender, more sensitive, more aware, and more loving than you were because of the experience? If the bitterness and the resentment is gone, you feel so much wiser now. You can be experienced without ever losing your innocence. And you've allowed experiences to destroy your innocence. Therefore, if you want to go to love someone and give them the gift of yourself, you're afraid to let them know that before them you had all these other experiences and you're no longer innocent. But you can understand it in such a way that if you change the definition of success and you understand what the experiences are, you are innocent. Isn't that innocent wiser than you ever were before? When Jesus sent his disciples forth, he told them to be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Isn't that quite a dichotomy? And if I say to you, could you not deeply understand that your wisdom should not turn against you because of what other people are doing? Everybody's got to do what they got to do, and everybody will be rewarded or removed from according to how they do it. You don't even have to get involved in it. You never have to upset yourself ever about what someone else is doing. That is so foolish. No matter how wrong they're doing or how you feel about it, how you feel about what they're doing is not going to change what they're going to get back for what they put out. Because how you're seeing it may have nothing to do for the reason they're doing it. And you think your judgment is just. And then you have your belief system. And for these beliefs, as you believe, you'd kill for them and you'd die for them. They are your belief systems, and usually made of judgments, which are made out of fear, because you became afraid, you changed your definition of success, and you lowered your self-esteem. Can there be a form of spirituality? Or are you looking for a form that is not so much the worship of an institution, but a form of spirituality that gives you back your dignity? Each of you, receive back your dignity, and each of you changing your definition of success will not govern it by watching Dynasty and saying, that's success. Will not govern it. Success, when it's redefined, takes into consideration its relationships. It takes in consideration its friends and the people they love. If you have a good relationship, if you have good friends, if you have a work that you enjoy, because work is the way you keep tuned with the universe, work is love made manifest. If you have this consciousness set about you as you work, you then are talking about what is success. For the other measurements of success did not bring the feeling that success should bring, because usually there is no successful relationships and they have no friends they can count on, because when you're that successful, everybody you know wants something sometime or other. That's not success. You should take a deep breath and redefine success and find out how much success is within your reach. What would you consider successful? The love of a good man? But not the kind of man your mother thinks or your father thinks. You love somebody, it's a little different. He doesn't look like you, McDonald, with the silver hair all trimmed and very handsome and dresses himself up. He might look like Richard, who wears his hair long and a goatee and his t-shirts. But Mama and the whole family you come from say, that's the kind of man that you should be seen with. And then your heart says, that's the kind of man. I'm just using two lifestyles, not the men themselves. Please don't do that to me or them. I'm just talking about how people look at it, and yet you'd look at Richard and say, but he's what makes my heart sing. He's what makes me feel good when I am with him. Do you follow that which is written in your heart, or will you select the man that the world will think is good and the world is best for you, even though they don't have to be alone with you in the bedroom with their selection? If you start looking for a successful man, or one that you can be seen with that would make you look successful, one that's good-looking, and then if he's good-looking, everybody will think, well, he thinks you're good-looking, or he wouldn't be with you, so everybody will think, well, gee, she must be good-looking. I just didn't see it before. And if you want to reverse the role, reverse it. It's the same way. Men are far worse than women. Women have a little more sensitivity about them. Women have the ability to recognize love. But they are now being sold the same garbage because they have the Chippendale dancers and ladies' nights out, and men are starting to wear the makeup and get their hair done and dyed and permed and all this stuff. So that's going on real soon, and soon it'll be hard to recognize a real man. But a woman could do it. And a real woman who knew what love about is didn't care if he was 6 foot tall, blue eyes, 32-inch waist. She didn't care. The quality of love was so important to her. Men, to them, because of the way they grew up, it's always get the best looker with the biggest and the nicest and the highest and the legs. And that's what men go for. And as long as they go for that and they get the sex from it, they're not too worried about the home and the children. Have you ever seen marriages like that? It's like, I'm only involved with you, woman. And this is all your stuff. There's no success in that. And that makes up many marriages. So you decide what is successful in a relationship with you. To love the people you love without shame or guilt or defending them. To truly love what you love. You're stepping, you are empowering yourself now to love. You're always trying to empower someone else to make you loving. Now, instead of asking or empowering her, now say, you love me and you love me the way I want because that will empower me. You now empower yourself. That your judgment of love, what you have behind you is a sincere effort to keep the commandments with your Father, the Supreme Being. Those commandments are easy. You don't have to lie anymore. You don't have to lie about your friends, who you're with, who you love, what you do on your job. You can say, I'm a file clerk. You don't have to say, I'm the executive secretary. You can say, I'm a shipping clerk. You do not have to say, I'm a warehouse foreman. You can say, I'm a janitor. You do not have to say, I'm a domestic engineer. You understand what I'm talking about? There is a pride in your life and the feeling of success that's in your life, and you are not shining it through a false prism, hoping to get a reflection. You can buy plastic cut like crystal and hang it in your window, but it just don't do what the crystal does, even though they look the same, does it? And a lot of people are trying to shine their light through a plastic prism. It's only natural that society would invent polyester, which is plastic, and wear it. It's only natural. And if people are trying to move out and away from their plastic credit cards and their plastic clothes, you see this movement where wools and cottons and muslins become vitally important. And you don't mind a little polyester weave with it, so it doesn't have to be ironed, but you certainly want the basic part of that, a soft, natural material, or don't you? I mean, you've seen polyester. Do you ever try to press it? It just shines for days. That's what happened when someone presses you. Your nose is shiny. To re-empower ourselves. Now that means that I don't ever have to lie to you. I don't ever have to steal from you. I don't ever have to covet your goods. I will never commit adultery with you. I will not establish this relationship with you and then go out and cheat and be something else somewhere else. Adultery is just more than goes on in a marriage. Adultery could be, I could commit adultery just by being here in this personality with you and then getting out of the church and say, well, we got a good offering, no suckers had, and get me up to Hollywood and get to the local bar and do my thing. That's adultery. I am presenting myself then in a false way to you. That's why you'll hear me say, the other night I was in the bar and I had too much to drink, and on the way home I egged this car, which I did. This girl pulled out behind me, and I didn't drive fast enough for her, and she went by and flipped me the bird, and I was expecting one of these for letting her by. Instead of her saying thank you, she flipped me, and down she went, and I thought, I'll get you. And it was Linda Day George who gave me the eggs to keep in the front seat of my car. She said, egg her. She agreed with me. And then I thought, going home, no, I'm a metaphysician. It don't matter what she did. She's going to get what she's going to get. You know, she's probably down there getting the ticket. Just keep it easy. But this night, and I don't like to drink at the bar, but they didn't tell me they had this 100 proof under the bar. It's always someone else's fault. I didn't know when he said, well, get in the back seat if we were going to do this. I didn't know they were like that. Oh, yes, we did. That's why we were there. And on the way home, after a couple schnapps too many, my real personality had come out, and it was dark, and no one was around. It was 2 in the morning. I'd closed the bar. There were the eggs. There was the car. No one on the street, and I egged her. Good one. A little less than 10 days later, my house was broken into and robbed for the first time, and took my VCR that was my birthday present from the church, which is the only toy I have that I thoroughly enjoy. And I instantly said, what in the hell is wrong? I don't deserve this. I am a good person. I do good things. I don't deserve this. And I kept saying this, and then all of a sudden in the back of my mind, and said, how good were you when you egged her car? Well, that shouldn't count. She deserved it. Who left it up to you to decide what someone else deserves? It's easy to have a relationship with God. It's easy to be in tune with the Supreme Being no matter who you are. The laws do not inhibit. They do not take away your freedom. They ensure your freedom, and they keep it freedom, and you never take license on someone else. And you know the difference between freedom and license. And when you're coming honestly, and you have a... Now, being honest doesn't mean, now get up and be obnoxious. As long with honesty is a thing called grace, particularly social grace. You don't dance in front of the cripple if the cripple can't handle the dancing. You measure unto each accordingly is the law of your father. So you don't go and tell someone who couldn't take it what you are just for the joy of just dazzling them with your light. And that's not dazzling them with the light, that's baffling them with bullshit. Mickey Creed isn't here, it's okay. And that's what we wind up doing, thinking it's light. But it's easy to keep a relationship and to stay in the source and to keep that self-esteem up. Change that definition of success. I don't like change. And every time something changes, I work so hard to keep it the way it is that when it changes, I feel I failed. Do you? All of a sudden, the job changes, the relationship changes, and every time something changes, you feel you could have done something, you should have done something, you might have been able to do something. Did I do everything there was to do to save it? And if that drives you crazy and you can't handle it anymore, then you add up everything they had to do wrong so you could prove to yourself who loves them that they were no good and rotten and you never had any right to love them to begin with, and you just wipe the whole slate clean and think everything's fine, and there's no greater fool that thinks he can do something wrong and it'll come out right. I hate change. And yet I have had to accept the fact that change is the nature of things. And I'm so insecure, and my self-esteem is so low that every time something changes, I think it's my fault, rather than to move with the change, grow with the change, keep my wisdom, keep my experience, maintain my innocence, keep my definition of success, which I think I am in my relationship with you, and enjoy every day my Father brings me. And you likewise. And never have to worry about stepping into the church. If you don't want to be judged, he said it's very simple, don't judge. If you don't want to be condemned after life, it's very simple. He said, condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Forgive, and I'll forgive. Give, and it'll be given unto you. Simple. That's freedom, isn't it? And then when you have that kind of freedom and you're not afraid, you don't have to have obnoxious behavior before people. And when you're not analyzing everything everybody thinks of you rather than what you are, it's when you're meeting someone, you're aware of how you're standing, how you look. Oh, I hope he doesn't see my hair, like, oh, my face. And you're very rarely greeting someone. Psychology will prove that to you. That's why you can't remember a joke somebody's going to tell you, because you're busy thinking of the joke you're going to say as soon as they get finished. Very few times are we ever really there with someone. To be comfortable in your body, when you change that definition of success and you bring up the self-esteem, it doesn't matter if your hair is blowing in the wind. You notice what the fashion look is today? When I was young, if a girl had her hair out of place, she was a dog. Now if you go and you look at these girls, it looks like they beat it up with an egg mixer, and Tina Turner, who was the slut of the year, is being copied by every fashion model. My, how things change. It means that 20 years ago, when you wouldn't let a hair out of place, it might have been the very look that got him. So you relax. You just simply relax. But you must be so relaxed in who you are that you can relax with the world in what it is. And if there's no relaxation between your inner and outer world, then you are lying to yourself. The distance between you and others is the distance between you and yourself. That's the distance between them. Everything that metaphysics, parapsychology, or spirit has tried to teach us has always been to get into the pure consciousness of truth, not religions, pure confidence of truth, and these truths should be self-evident, and they are ingrained. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When I ask a scientist from Britain, if you don't believe the spaceships came and created Easter Islands what's that thing in England, Stonehenge, and Mexico, where they lined up the moon and the sun and the great temples, the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Egyptians. There is unbelievable coordination about these things with supposedly civilizations that weren't aware of each other. And she said, it was possible that was ingrained in us. At the birthing of our evolution, it was ingrained in us, this knowledge. And we always tried to build temples to visually see it and recognize it. Thus the pyramids, thus Stonehenge, thus Easter Island, thus the Mayans and the Aztecs and the temples. It was ingrained. This wisdom between us and God is ingrained. And any time we need it, what is ingrained in us will be there to feed it, as long as we go with the grain. Stop going against the grain. Religion teaches you to go against your own grain. Spirituality teaches you how to go gently, lovingly to all men in the grain of things with you. Amen? Will you concentrate a little bit on your definition of success? Will you take the time to learn that from this night? Because that will help you accept change. It will help you with your self-esteem. And it will remove fear from you. If you'll change the definition, change it according to your own truth. It simply may be that person by your side, that you have a successful relationship. You have a church that you have so successful friendships in and feelings and beliefs for. You have the cream of all the things that are out there in life. And any one of you, in any situation or station of life you're in, can have that cream. It is your heritage. He so loved the world that he sent his spirit in. He wasn't upset. It didn't say the world was such a mess, either they listened to him or he was going to kill them. He so loved the world that he sent his spirit in. He so loved it. you, in this time, here and now, must learn to love the world. I had to learn on the way into the ranch at dawn when we get up there, like I leave tonight after church and we arrive at dawn, all the beer cans all along the dirt road and across the creek. And I used to look for every beer can. I saw every one of them. Until one day I said, you know, this is really ridiculous. Why don't you look at the creek and the trees and the hills and look for eagles that fly over, and there's bear and coyote and there's fox. Why are you looking for beer cans? I'm serious. And I told you I wasn't going to go that night I was going up. I wasn't going to look for any more beer cans. And I'm driving in the canyon. Look at that beer can. I said, hey, wait a minute. It came back, but it was also greeted with a solution. Yeah, look at the beer can. Now look at the trees and keep your eyes up. Don't count all the potholes on the road to life. It's ingrained in your natural energy to flow through it. I know most of you well, because when you come into the church, you come in for a while, but we share a good relationship while you're here. And for those that have been here for years, we have gotten to know each other well. I'm sure that those who have been with me for 15 years have seen me grow. I'm sure they've seen me not only speak it, but to even begin to digest it and bring it into my personality. I'm sure you've seen it change me. I have the same pleasure of seeing it change you. And what is between you and I is a good thing. And it's brought forth good changes. And it's brought forth in our mind good thoughts and wholesome thoughts. Never did we come into this church and listen to judgment and condemnation and hatred and how to put people down and where evil was and how to find it. We did not look at these things. We looked at the love and the glory, the greatness of God, the beauty of human life, and what we as individuals can do if we just put our minds together and work in a good energy for our earth. Therefore, as far as I'm concerned, and this might be only my opinion, but I think you're the most important people on this planet I know. Because it's your combined thinking together that can bring about the things that have to be done. Because I don't know anyone else that comes into a church and looks for the spirituality you do and puts your thinking and your support behind this message that must be reached. Now, maybe it's just my opinion, but if you love me half as much as I love you, then my opinion is very, very valuable to you. If my opinion has no value to you, then I can do very little for you. If you have respect for me and I have respect for you, I can do much. And I tell you in my opinion, and I've been around and over and through in many countries and teaching 25 years of it. Don's now seeing some of the programs Angela, my adopted mother's given to me that I did in the 60s. Will you read some of the write-ups? How I was possible to tear a convention apart if it needed it. That I didn't care where the truth fell, but told the audience not to worry. He'll put it back together and keep it that way. I even had the reputation then for tearing things up and putting them back together. I hope I still do that, but in a little more mellow way. In my opinion, you are the most important people I know. In my opinion, working with you, you and I have and can continue to accomplish wonderful things for this race, for this planet, honoring the source of the Supreme Being from whence we come. Praise be the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm glad that's out. I can breathe now. That's been pinned up there all day. All day.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reeds. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger, an endless aching need. I say love, heart afraid of breaking that never learns to dance. It's the dream afraid of waking that never takes the chance. It's the one who won't be taken, who cannot seem to give, and the star afraid of dying that never learns to live. When the night has been too lonely, and the road has been too long, and you think that love is only for the lucky and the strong, just remember in the winter, far beneath the bitter snows, lies the seed that with the sun's glow in the spring becomes the
Hi. Damien and I were talking in the vestry before we came out.
Oh, this week she's going to tell. You know, she always gets me for telling what we say, but when it's her time to talk, it's okay for her to say.
Everybody gets their turn. No, we were talking about how happy we were that on these dark Thursday nights, and the crowds aren't quite as big, but the collections have stayed up, and it's been so nice. But I was almost afraid to let you know that, because I was afraid then you'd stop. But, you know, we've had a lot of lip service. You know what that is. You probably get it in your life, too. But it's when you really show something, there's a solid something there. Something you can rely on, something you can depend on, and you know it's there. That's what love is. He said, work is made manifest, love made manifest.
It's work.
Yeah, something like that. You know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're all psychic. Isn't it nice you're all psychic? That's great. Yes, but not worked. Anyway, this is a deserving place, and Damien is a deserving leader. And I just feel that you've all helped yourselves by helping us, so that we're all here together. I think you're really beginning to learn that when you really give from that cheerful heart, that's when all of your blessings come back. Amen. With that cheerful heart, pounded down and running over. Thank you.
Captain Richards, poor Billy goodbye. Farmer Johnson said to see the two went on to drum. Jobs are scarce down at the factory. I thank the good Lord I've got you in times like these. In times like these, when it's easy to get down, you're my inspiration, you're my solid ground. In times like these, love will pull us through. Baby, I know I can depend on you. You can read about the latest in the fashion magazine, but that don't change the fact that we got patches on our jeans. Everybody's eating it, and the preacher's preaching on TV. I thank the good Lord I've got you.
This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is retreat, and there are many spaces left.
Yes, in fact, only four of us are gone, but if they want to still go with me, are we going to have
plus staff, that's eight of us.
Yeah,
we're plus staff.
Do you still want to go? Mm-hmm. I'd spend this weekend with me if I were you. Well, go ahead, Charles. I'm sorry to interfere. You know, I'm Irish.
I'm Irish too, so I understand.
Now, a week from Friday is the Halloween ball. Mm-hmm. And it's, for you that don't know, it's at the Edgewater Hyatt Hotel. And it will start at 7 o'clock, and it's only $25, and that's dinner and dancing and just a whole evening of good, good fun.
Start the holidays.
Right.
Start. Halloween gets rid of the spooks, then you get thankful that you're rid of your spooky personality, then you get very thankful, then you get Christ-like and feel good and give gifts to everyone. Then you start out a whole new year, huh?
Is that a Friday?
A week.
Yeah.
A week.
All happens on Friday night. All that'll happen in one night. Get rid of it all.
Boy, that's a good buy for $25. Yeah. Better go.
It's cheaper than a psychic reading these days.
Truly.
I don't get away with too much anymore. Oh, we're having all these solos we're pulling out tonight. Isn't this wonderful? That was very good. Days like these, you know?
Sometimes alleluia. Sometimes pray. Sometimes gently sing, our hearts in one accord. Oh, let us raise our voices, look to the sky and start to see. Let us
Isn't that wonderful? The more you want to go, the more trouble it was.